How do you get out of?
Yeah.
So
okay.
When mine comes up, it'll, and then I think I could just exit out of it, and I'll click on
somebody
the one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'll do.
That's why I'm like,
okay.
Okay.
Oh, no. Great. So I'm sorry, I was talking. We just click the presentation title?
Yes, it
yep. okay.
comes up and just click right. on your name. You guys have a very fancy booth.
We won first place. Did you see that?
Look, but there are a lot of first places, so I'm kind of confused by that.
Oh my gosh.
Is it first place in like different categories?
I don't know. I thought there was only one. Mm-hmm. I guess we're not that special.
Well, you're special in your own way.
Yeah. But you know what? I've noticed this year the foot traffic hasn't been as high as previous years. I don't know. Maybe it's where we are or maybe the timing, because I was there all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, I was in Philadelphia. Like
maybe people are afraid people. Not spending money, so they're afraid to go where they
maybe.
Might be spending money. I don't know.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just San Diego. I mean.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But for me, the expo is always the most fun part.
Yeah.
I had to ship about 15 pounds of books to myself yesterday.
Really? Wow.
So.
Do you get them at a discount?
Astonishingly, no. And then FedEx, because they're in this building, they charge you a convenience fee.
What?
Oh
my gosh.
So that was like $15 just for the privilege of FedEx.
Wow. You can at least expense that, right?
Well, since I work for a nonprofit. But I could take it off my tax, I think.
Thank you.
deteriorates moment by moment.
Oh, do you want to go first?
We're supposed to actually do it in the order that it's in the program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is there anything that we can close the door when we start so the glare doesn't come in?
Sure.
I think it has normally been beneficial to my career because I thought I was always going to be a career civil servant, and when I got to graduate school, I worked at the CDC, spent a couple of years at Georgia's State Health Department, and it was just, you know, it was good work, and the people were really nice, but government just, it has its benefits, but it also has its downsides. What I really wanted was something that was more intellectually challenging, because I was a young guy, I don't have a family yet, so I had the luxury of being able to focus on my career. So when I decided that I wanted to pursue something in the private sector, I needed to find something that allowed me to take my previous experiences and carry them forward. And Booz Allen Hamilton is probably one of the best consulting firms in the nation, in the world, consulting. And it was a very natural fit. So making a transition is hard. I've been with them for 3 years now, and I can honestly say that the amount of knowledge I've gained about not just consulting, but about public health and government has given me a lot of confidence relative to, I think if I ever wanted to start my business one day, I would have the skill sets to do that. If I wanted to stay with this firm and just move up in a career ladder, I have the ability to do that. So I feel like I've been really lucky. I found a good company that really takes care of all of its staff. So, and the work that we do is just it's some of the best in our field. It's a really complex projects with very, very important stakeholders. You can't ask for more. It's like when you're in graduate school, you're studying all of your courses. Making that transition to actual day-to-day practice, I think, is really different. So I feel like I found the stuff that I do daily is very
interesting. And you guys are based out of where?
We're based out of McLean, Virginia. And where I work is actually where I work in Atlanta, Georgia. So we have a pretty big public health practice that is.
Do you fly there every week?
Well, I live in Atlanta, so all of my clients are local.
Is that
right.
Something they try to do, or?
Yeah, our model is a lot different from some other consulting firms because we don't like to, ship our consultants all around on travel. So one of the benefits of Booz Allen is it's one of the top places to work with others. So they really encourage, people to have a good. It's mostly achieved rather than staffing us locally, so we rarely have to travel. This is one of the rare instances where I do have to travel, which is, it's great for me. I'm at the point in my career where I don't necessarily need to travel. Some young, really young folks really like being local, and I like having this ability to go back on the river. It's pretty good.
Think about ways to make that change. I find a lot of interested in like some of the operations and collaborations.
All
things
right.
Like that, but that I think hamper a lot of organizations
yeah.
and that experience because of money or anything.
Yeah.
Like a nonprofit culture thing where money is bad.
Mm.
It's just not something that I agree with.
Mm.
I mean, you can't be a mission without money.
Right. It's interesting because to run a nonprofit operation is almost harder than a for-profit environment. Actually, just the last project that I was on was a nonprofit with a nonprofit in Mississippi. We were trying to help an organization called Power Foundation figure out a strategy to create a method of collecting hospital data in the state. And it always came down to, hey, we really want to do this, but we just don't have a place. How can we figure out a way to lobby legislation or it's really interesting. And we used to be a larger company, more than a commercial practice and a government practice. We split away from the commercial practice, so now all we do is government and nonprofit. So right now, because the economy is just so volatile, I feel like we're in a good position because it's steady. We're growing well, people are laying off.
Do they have a is that
I believe that within Chicago, most of our legacy commercial offices are there. I know that the Midwest was a big hub of the commercial practice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're from?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'd like to get ultimately.
Oh yeah, is that where you're from?
No, but that's where I met my husband and we'd like to get out here better.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just collect everybody. If we can collect everybody who's supposed to be on this side of the table. I love that everybody's always already collaborating. So let's get started. My name is Larissa Beckwith. I'm a member of the Health Administration section. We're 100 years old, in case you hadn't heard. So we're very excited about that. Today's panel is going to be talking about collaborations that impact public health. The way that we'll structure this is we'll have each of our panelists speak, and then we'll have all questions at the end. So if you have trouble remembering what you want to ask, make sure you write it down, and we'll get to it at the end. And we'll hopefully then have the opportunity to do more in-depth Q&A than we might otherwise. So with that, I'd like to introduce our first speaker. This is Van Hu. Mr. Hu is an associate with Booz Allen Hamilton, has 10 years of professional and project management experience within public health, information technology, hospital, and the nonprofit sectors. His background includes healthcare information technology, project management, requirements gathering and analysis, and extensive knowledge of public health business operations at the federal, state, and local levels. Mr. Hu previously served as an operations analysis manager with the Georgia Division of Public Health and received a Master of Public Health from Emory University with a concentration in health policy and management. Mr. Hu?
Thanks, Rissa. so I want to thank everyone for coming out to our presentation today, Modernizing the Public Vaccine Distribution System Through a Successful Multi-Sector Partnership. Specifically, we're going to talk about the Vaccine Management Business Improvement Project, which I'll be referring to by its acronym VMBIP, for CDC's Vaccines for Children's Program. So, full disclosure, I do work for a for-profit company called Booz Allen Hamilton. We are a government consulting company. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about the authors of this presentation and also a little bit about our project team. And then we're going to delve into a little bit of history with CDC's VFC program and talk about the problem that they encountered when we started working with the CDC. And then we'll talk about the approach we took to help them solve this problem. And finally, we'll open the floor up to questions. So I'm here today actually representing Brad Prescott, who is a project manager for VMBIP, and he works for CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease. That's the body of CDC that actually handles anything that's related to immunization. My colleagues, Keisha Edwards and John O, were also co-authors on his presentation, and collectively we represent a handful of folks who served within a larger project team. One of the things that we'll share is that, you know, VMBIP is a fairly large project, and at any given point in time there are approximately 25 to 30 people both within our company Booz Allen and the CDC working on this endeavor. Keisha, John, and I are, you know, we have our formal educations in public health and also in project management, and we're also currently working within various CDC projects. So specifically today, you know, what we have listed here are all of the various stakeholders that have participated within this project since its inception approximately 5 years ago. As you can see, there are a lot of different organizations, and we're going to focus mostly on NCRID as well as the State Health Department immunization programs. We call them grantees because in the past they received grant money from the CDC to purchase children's vaccines. And we're going to focus on the work that Booz Allen, Allen Hamilton conducted to help NCRID move this project forward. So what is VFC and what was the problem? Well, to give you a crash course on the Vaccines for Children's program, it was an initiative started approximately 14 years ago by the CDC to help provide pediatric vaccine to children who cannot afford it. So essentially, the CDC worked with, you know, different vaccine manufacturers to come up with a reduced price contract, and then they also provided grant money to the state health departments to help them buy these reduced price vaccines. So the goal of all of this was to basically provide vaccines to kids who were either uninsured or underinsured. Now, while the CDC in the past handled the, you know, the responsibility of managing, you know, the reduced price contracts, they pretty much left the actual distribution and administration of the vaccine to the 64 state and local health departments. So what we saw in the past was a myriad of different approaches to getting the vaccine from the manufacturer, you know, to the arm of the child. We saw within a lot of states that they actually had their immunization program staff manage the vaccine inventory themselves and also be responsible for distributing the vaccine and then restocking the shelves. Quite often this was done either directly out of the state's immunization program, so you literally had immunization program staff you know, receiving boxes from the manufacturers and then unpacking them and putting them in the freezer, and then when it came time for an order, they would pack it up and ship it out with the ice packs. And this could occur through multiple tiers and levels throughout state government. So sometimes the vaccine would have different touch points as we came down from state to regional to local to eventually to the provider levels. Other states decided that they did not necessarily want to handle the distribution themselves. So they contracted individual private vendors who specialized in, you know, storing and distributing vaccine. And then in other cases, there were certain vaccines, because they were frozen, things like varicella, that were shipped directly from the manufacturer to the provider offices. So what we had in the past was sort of a mixed bag of how vaccine was being managed and distributed, you know, throughout each of these states. So the program was very successful. The CDC was fulfilling, a much needed, they were filling a gap that existed within the communities. But as the program grew, they did encounter challenges, particularly within the realm of these three areas: distribution, provider ordering, accountability, and funds management. So one of the things, and this is really the main portion of what we're going to focus on today, is the actual vaccine distribution itself, because you had different state health departments with different operations and really no consistency in how they were sending the vaccine out to the providers and also managing the vaccine inventory, because everyone was sort of doing it on their own. You really couldn't leverage what's called economies of scale, which is basically saying that if the higher volume of vaccine that you distribute from, let's say, one source, theoretically, the lower the cost of that would be. But because you have, multiple different mechanisms for distributing a vaccine, well, you really are probably not doing this, as efficiently as you can, particularly from a cost perspective. In some cases, we had providers actually going to, either the state health department or local health department to pick up vaccine, which is not necessarily, the most convenient thing to do if you've got a busy staff. And mind you, they're also going in sometimes with just, coolers, and, who knows, if someone just steps out to grab lunch and leaves the cooler in a car, that's $1,000 worth of vaccine that could expire. So that was one of the challenges that they started to notice. And then we also have the issue of, well, CDC is paying for this vaccine to, help uninsured children get vaccinations, but they didn't really know whether, the vaccines were making out to the target populations, because there wasn't a very high level of visibility for the inventory. So, they may know that the manufacturers shipped a certain amount that the CDC paid for, but at the end of the day, depending on the operation, they may not know whether that specific lot, made it to the provider's office. So, and that's all just the result of, the very disparate operations that occurred from state to state. From a funds management level, and this is really the financial portion of managing this program. At the time, they were having each of the state health departments apply for grant money to get the appropriate level of funding to buy these vaccines. What they found was they essentially had to manage 64 different instances of the grants, which I'm sure you all are aware, conducting this level of public finance at the state, federal, or local public health levels is, it's a fairly big responsibility, particularly when you have other responsibilities that are more public health focused. So they wanted to figure out a better way to manage the financial portion of the program. And then there were issues of how the providers are actually ordering the vaccine. So in the past, what had happened was usually the provider would fax in a paper form. So someone would actually have to, sit down and then, you know, fill out what they needed and then send that through by fax. And in some cases, certain states did a good job of updating the CDC on the status of the inventory that they held locally. But then in other cases, they may not have been doing that so well. So essentially, you had a very large program that had grown to the point of where the CDC really needed to reevaluate how it was running, you know, this entire operation. So this is when Booz Allen Hamilton began working with CDC to help them come up with a solution. And essentially, various stakeholders within, you know, the leadership level of NCRD kind of knew where they needed to go. And a lot of this revolved around having one national central distributor, basically one company that did this professionally that could distribute all the vaccine out to the state health departments. So essentially, we're going to take the 64 individual state health departments, take them out of the distribution business so that they could focus on what's more important, which is the immunization business, you know, because that's something that they will be doing regardless, and that's really their main focus. So what we helped them do was essentially come up with a way to contract the company that now is McKesson Specialty, coming up a way for them to, you know, figure out how they need to contract with this company, and then working with that company to get their operations up and running and then transition the state health departments to this new system of centralized distribution. Another big thing that we helped them with up front was to essentially take away the grant system. So now the CDC was basically the owner of the funds, and they would manage the funds themselves as opposed to dishing out grants to the CDC. So they would work directly with the manufacturers to buy the vaccine that was needed based on provider need. So some of the benefits that that we established at that time, the main one was just having a singular supply chain for the vaccine instead of having 64 individual supply chains, which would eventually lead to cost reduction within a system-wide reduction of inventory, and also providing more visibility to the vaccine itself, because now the CDC is able to you know, manage directly how much vaccine has to be sent to McKesson Specialty you know, to restock their shelves. So in all, this provided the ability for the state health departments to focus more on the immunization activities. So how much time? 5 minutes. Okay, so I'm talking a little bit too long here. But basically, what we're going to jump to is the task that the state health departments had to transition over to this new system. Essentially, we had to help the CDC figure out how they were going to move all of these individual state health departments from their existing system of distribution over to the centralized system of distribution. And, you know, this represents the overall plan for achieving that. And we're going to talk about the end part, which was the part of planning that pertained, you know, directly to the state grantees. And what we're going to do is talk about three things that we did to, you know, essentially help them with the planning process. The first one was breaking down the various aspects of the planning into individual modules so that we could not inundate them with, you know, a sort of a sea of planning, because essentially this is everything that they needed to do to transition to the new distributor, everything from capturing the you know, the existing way that they're running operations to coming up with a plan for communicating with providers and letting them know that, hey, instead of getting vaccine from us, you're now going to get vaccine from McKesson Specialty, and also helping them ramp down their distribution operations, because some of them had warehouses that had vaccine, and we knew that when it came time for them to transition, they would no longer need this product. So it was helping them balance out what they were ordering versus what they were shipping out. And then helping them plan for the changes that would impact other operations once they've made the transition over to McKesson Specialty, things like, you know, what do you do for emergency planning if there are other organizations dependent on, let's say, your freezer, and that's going to go away. Well, what do you do? The second thing we did was to take all of those pieces of planning, and a lot of this we had conducted with a team of four analysts whose sole job was to work with every state health department and help them adopt all those modules and execute the planning. We did most of that through phone and email, but what we realized was that because these folks have, you know, other responsibilities also day to day, that sometimes doing that virtually was not necessarily, you know, as helpful as if we were doing something in person. So we made site visits out to each of the state health departments to do all of those things that we talked about in this previous slide. So once we helped all of this, and we transitioned you know, every one of the 64 state health departments over to the new system of distribution, we knew that because this was a new system, we would eventually encounter issues with, you know, the changes that had occurred and relative to the performance of McKesson Specialty, because they were, you know, they were ramping up also. And there were concerns from the different state health departments that the quality of the distributions would not be as good as when they were doing it. So what we came up with was a system for evaluating how the vaccine was being distributed to the providers, and then you know, working with McKesson to essentially help them improve their business based on feedback from the grantees and the providers themselves. So in summary, we essentially moved everyone over from, you know, that disparate 64-state model over to a centralized system where there was just one company who's doing all the distribution of children's vaccine to the entire nation. What that did for the CDC was to give them better management opportunities over the vaccine, because now they were essentially managing the big, you know, the big inventory of vaccines. So when it came time for allocating vaccines that were in shortage, they had better information and better opportunity to do that. And when it came time to, let's say, allocating vaccine for an emergency incident, such as recently there was a hepatitis A scare in New York, CDC was able to immediately fill out a 10,000 dose order to New York. So these things wouldn't have been possible in the previous system because it was so disparate, but under the new system, it gave CDC the ability to, you know, look within the inventory and manage it actively. And that is it.
Thank you. And now we have Dr. Kurt Wise, who is an associate professor and chair of the Public Relations Department in the Quinnipiac University School of Communications. He is an accredited public relations counselor whose specialty is public relations in healthcare. And his primary research interests involves the contribution of public relations to organizational effectiveness in public health. Before earning his PhD, Dr. Wise was director of public relations for Cook Incorporated, the world's largest privately held medical device manufacturing company. He has held teaching positions and public relations management positions in the political, natural resources, and gaming fields. And I think we can probably see his PR background in the fact that I think he is the only person with a two-word title. So, Dr. Wise.
Thank you. Folks, coming to this conference, something occurred to me because I've never been to San Diego before, and it